We've reached double digits, December 10th. It seems like it's flying by. 15 days until Christmas, 2 weeks from tomorrow already, Paul. And this is when time seems to accelerate as you get to the end of the year, because you have a list of things, whether they're written down or in your head, that you got to get done before the end of the year.
Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, you got it. You got a lot of things, and people also try to get in their vacations. And you know, I think it's the most challenging time of the year if you're the person that does scheduling. Let's put it that way. In this case, our boss PJ, you know, the constant changes. So a lot of people trying to work through it. In fact, I'm going to be heading to Bradenton, Florida, doing a show Friday morning from a new Marriott resort down there, and they're still recovering from two hurricanes, and we'll bring you up to date, but they want you to come back. That's the best way you can help, and there's so many connections from Pittsburgh to that area, not just the Pirates, of course.
And to hear what Elliot Balcioni's been telling us about the recovery effort, they're well ahead of schedule.
Yeah, they've done a really amazing job based on the eye of the hurricane that went over right over the Sarasota, Bradenton area. That was back-to-back storms. And the first storm created a major tidal surge. So you had water damage, then wind damage with the other more so.
Yeah, they had one of one and one of the other. They had the one out in the Gulf that pushed all that water up onto like the barrier islands. And then they had the direct hit from the eye wall of that thing. And really that was, I think, of the two, the lesser, based on what we're hearing from Elliot.
Exactly. So we'll bring you some news from Bradenton on Friday morning in the region there, Anna Maria Island, Longboat Key, all that wonderful vacation place.
So once again, you're going to leave me to slave over a hot keyboard here in Pittsburgh while you're kicking it on the dock.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that.
Probably having crab cake Benedict for breakfast.
I have to go. It's my job.
I hope you have a great time, by the way.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. Meanwhile, this story that just almost exactly 24 hours ago at 9:15 a.m. in Altoona, Pennsylvania, of all places, in a McDonald's, with the details, CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
This story reads like a movie script, but sadly, a CEO, a father of two, lost his life in a brazen attack. Police now believe they have their man, and we are learning more about Luigi Mangione, an otherwise high-achieving person in his 20s who ranted about corporate America.
This morning, Luigi Mangione is behind bars. The 26-year-old was arraigned and later charged with second-degree murder yesterday in the shooting death of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
Justice will be delivered in this case.
Pennsylvania police were called to the scene after the Maryland native was spotted by an employee at a McDonald's in Altoona around 9:15 a.m. yesterday. Investigators say they approached him and asked if he had recently been to New York.
He became visibly nervous, kind of shaking at that question.
Police say he was carrying a fake New Jersey ID that matched the one allegedly used to check into a New York hostel last week. Authorities say they later recovered Mangione's passport with his real name, along with a gun, suppressor, and clothing that they believe are consistent with those used in the shooting, and a 3-page handwritten document expressing ill will toward corporate America.
He's a coward, not a hero.
Mangione is from a prominent Maryland family that owns multiple country clubs. He was the valedictorian of his 2016 class at the elite all-boys Gilman School in Baltimore, and later earned computer science degrees from the University of Pennsylvania.
I knew of him. I knew him somewhat well. He was a nice kid.
Mangione spent time in Hawaii in 2022 and 2023. Two sources who knew him then say he suffered from back pain due to an injury.
The murder charge starts the extradition process back to New York, which could take days or weeks. The Mangione family released a statement last night saying they are shocked and devastated by the news, adding that they offer prayers to the family of Brian Thompson and all involved.
CBS's Naomi Ruckham.
Well, Larry, we've got some new information about this back injury that I think sheds, or at least casts some light that would help us get our head around what happened. New York Post article says this morning that the suspect was reported missing by his family last month after he lost touch with them following a recent back surgery. Wow. So let's see what they have on this here. Lost touch with loved ones. Suspect born and raised in Maryland, ties to San Francisco, Honolulu. A former classmate forwarded a message earlier this year because the suspect's family was trying to find him. That classmate said the message indicated Mangione hadn't been in touch with relatives since undergoing back surgery several months prior. Another friend and former classmate told CNN that he said that he had a back issue. Mangione told him that, and he was hoping to get stronger while he was in Hawaii. The roommate said the back issues were traumatic and difficult, and a basic surfing lesson would leave him bedridden for a week. When he underwent surgery, he sent pictures of the x-rays to friends. Spinal fusion surgery, that's where they put screws into the spine. I've had that myself. It's no fun. And so this article suggests that Mangione may have had a grudge because of his interactions with the medical industry concerning this.
But what would take somebody who was recognized as the smartest man in his class,
exactly,
a young guy, 26,
exactly,
who had the world at his feet from a wealthy family, you know, what would make him do that? I guess they're trying to figure it out.
One other quick little revealing fact here in this article. Mangione apparently had 5 books involving chronic back pain on his reading list on his Goodreads account. That's something that you could access kind of like social media. And those books included titles such as Crooked, Outwitting the Back Pain Industry and Getting on the Road to Recovery. So there you go.
All right. We'll continue to provide details as they come in. And as the governor has asked if anybody had an encounter of any kind when he was in Pittsburgh or the area, please. Every Tuesday at this time, we check in with our colleague Lynn Hayes-Freeland in Atlanta, Georgia, but she frequents coming back and forth to Pittsburgh. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you? It's a busy morning now, dude.
Very busy around here, as you know.
Yeah.
It's absolutely stunning sometimes how many connections this city has and the people in it to seemingly everything that goes on. And now you have this Luigi Mangione, the suspect in that New York City shooting, who apparently came to Pittsburgh before he went to Altoona and a McDonald's 24 hours ago at 9:15 and was arrested there.
Now, I've been trying to keep up on this, but we don't know why he was in Pittsburgh. Is that correct so far? We don't know why
No.
he was there?
What we do know is he was taking buses, and that the governor, Josh Shapiro, and keep in mind, as you know very well, Lynn, he was our attorney general, so he's a law-minded governor in terms of they're trying to piece that part together, and they're asking if anyone had any interactions now that we've seen who he is in Pittsburgh, that they are to reach out to police. But what a story. And the police work from the moment we saw that viral video of the actual shooting and how they tracked and followed him all over the place was pretty extraordinary.
It was extraordinary, Larry. But one of the things that really gets me is so often we hear this phrase, if you see something, say something. Those McDonald's folks, the folks in that McDonald's, changed the direction of that whole story. And I think they should be used as an example going forward of if you see something, say something.
Yeah, and Governor Shapiro did echo that. You're right. And who would think, though, you're sitting at a McDonald's in Altoona and this is the most wanted man in America, and the chase was on. But aside from that, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, I heard you mention this thing about, what is it, Granny's what?
It's called Granny's Purse Syndrome. It's very real. And for some reason, pediatricians and other people right now putting a word out because apparently young children are getting into the medications primarily, among other things, when they go to grandma and grandpa's house.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of interesting because I heard you mention it a little bit earlier on the show. And getting into the medications is not a challenge for me. And let me be clear. I have four grandchildren, 4 months, 2 years, 8 years, and 5 years. So they run the gamut of the two-year-old who's still in that anything she sees she's going to put in her mouth to the 8-year-old who's not interested in anything that I do for the most part. But what I find is not so much for my kids. They don't get it in my purse or anything like that. But anything that's on the floor, it can be the smallest thing, the size of a pin. One of them is going to find it and pop it in their mouths. And so often when we're dealing with medications, you drop a pill here, you drop a pill there. That is a much bigger challenge for me personally.
Yeah, just so it was in the news this week. So just a heads up, you know, for folks, just be a little more conscientious about medications in particular. And their accessibility to the young kids, because they're resourceful. In a lot of cases, the grandparents are asking the kids, can you open this for me?
Yeah, well, then there's that. But you know what? I guess it was at my daughter's house. I dropped a pill on the floor in the kitchen. We couldn't find it. We did everything to find it. Could not find it. I suspect in hindsight, it probably rolled up under the refrigerator. But that whole night, all I could do was worry that the baby was going to find the pill that we couldn't find. So I get the fear of that. And I understand some, you know, all these new bottles, you can't open them. But I think that as grandparents, we have to be extra aggressive about making sure the kids don't have any kind of access to those things, because they can be life-changing. Life-ending accidents.
And on a lighter note, you heard about Taylor Swift's bonus package, $197 million in bonuses to the Eras Tour crew, which is truck drivers, roadies, the band, backup dancers, security, stage riggers, even her physical therapists, multiple, by the way. I'm sure
multiple,
you travel with multiple therapist.
Sure.
Mine would be more.
I have a crew just about that size.
Mine would be more than
just about that size.
Mental type therapist, but that's a different story. So Aaron got a call from a woman who said that she has about 150 employees. If that's the case, they each get $1.3 million in change as a bonus. Nice Christmas.
You know what? It is a nice Christmas, and when I first saw that, I was kind of overwhelmed. But when you think about the size of that tour and the responsibilities of each one of those individual players, you know, all it takes is one person to not do what is expected or anticipated, and the whole thing starts to collapse. So I appreciate the fact that she appreciates the people who make her look good. You know, sometimes it's that front person that gets all the accolades, but it's the folks behind the screen that make you look good.
Yeah. And if you want to build loyalty, Any business owners out there listening, that's kind of how you do it. I guarantee all those people.
Guarantee it.
Whatever you, Taylor, we're in. We're working for you. We'll have more with Lynn Hayes Freeland coming up. You can see Lynn on the radio, by the way. Go to our live stream at kdkradio.com. From the and 10 until 2, it is Marty Griffin. We'll check in with Marty in just a few minutes. Right now, back to Lynn Hayes Freeland, who is living La Vida Loca in Atlanta, Georgia.
That might be a little exaggeration, Larry, but, you know, it's every time I spend time with my grandchildren, which is very often, I am reminded why I came here. And especially this time of year, for us to all be together during the holidays is amazing. But I wanted to mention something about this grandma thing and holiday shopping, Christmas shopping. You know, when my kids were little, there was always like one big toy of the season, and you had to go stand in line for hours to try to get that toy, and then it'd be sold out. Just craziness. Things like the Cabbage Patch dolls. Well, it's different in 2024. We've gotten to a point where we're just using online, ordering the toy they want and having it delivered. But I noticed last night that even though we are still early in the month, we're coming up on the deadline to order some of those toys, because I saw some that said they could not deliver before Christmas Day.
Yeah, they just posted delivery date deadlines if you want to be 100% certain that when you're shipping something to somebody, you know, for Christmas, you got to get on your horse and do that now. And to your point with online shopping, you know, you don't have to go wait in line anymore.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, and I hadn't even thought about this until we started this conversation. I remember last year I had ordered a desk for my granddaughter. She's two now, so she was really just a year and a half at the time. And the desk didn't arrive until about December 30th. The only reason I got a pass was because she was a year and a half. She didn't know what Christmas was or when the desk was supposed to come. But, you know, as they get older, they have expectations. And, you know, we as grandparents, we try to meet those expectations.
Speaking of kids, did you hear the list of the next generation of baby names? Let's see.
I did not.
Emerging trend for 2025. Brooks, Cooper, Callaway, and Frazier. Sounds like a team. I mentioned Yacht Rock coming next summer to Star Lake. And then for the girls, Vivienne and Georgina. These are emerging names for 2025. It's cyclical.
So too. Some of them sound like some of them sound like recycled names from the past. Little twist. I always find that fascinating because now let me ask you this, Larry. Is Michael on that list? Because my son's name is Michael, and Michael used to be on every year. Michael was still a popular name. Have they finally bumped it?
Well, this may not be the complete list, but it's just the list of what the next generation's names are going to be. Callaway is actually the
Callaway.
Name. That's a name of golfing products, so I don't know if that matters for boys. Anyway.
Yeah, I like that name. Hey, Larry, I want to just take a note, too. I want to just mention the fact that noted poet Nikki Giovanni died yesterday. And I think that a lot of folks have lost sight of the role Nikki Giovanni played. What was in the 60s, the Black Power movement. You know, a lot of our young people know of the Black Lives Matter movement, but not understanding how that connects to the Black Power movement. And so just out of curiosity, I started looking up some old Nikki Giovanni poems because I had had her on my television show several times. But the one thing that leaped out at me that is still relevant today, and she says, "All mistakes teach us something. So there are in reality no mistakes." And that's the kind of insight Nikki Giovanni, I think, gave all of us. So as we remember her today, go back and look at some of her poems. I think you'll be surprised.
Yeah, my favorite was Maya Angelou. She had mm-hmm. so many, same kind of, you know, make you stop and think. The one that really resonated, and I think it applies to what we do, Lynn, from Maya Angelou, is, and I don't know if I have this exactly right, but it's basically people won't remember what you say, but they will remember how you made them feel, which I think resonates in what we do.
I think it resonates for everyone, but you're absolutely right in this business. Quick Maya Angelou story. We interviewed her once years ago. It
wow.
was myself, photographer Aaron Sledge, and Dorothy Tucker, who at the time was a reporter on KDKA-TV. We did it in New Orleans. We got lost. And so we couldn't find our way to the hotel. We got there probably 15 minutes late. She read us the riot act for not respecting her time. She couldn't believe that we were so disrespectful. The three of us stood there almost on the brink of tears. And then after she did all of that, she said, "Now let's sit down and do the interview."
On that note, we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thanks, Lynn.
All right. Have a good one.
Lynn Hayes-Breedland. And coming up next, we'll check in. Takes to the airwaves. Get Marty in yesterday. Little under 24 hours ago, you broke the news about this arrest in Altoona, which is actually, what an incredible story.
What the hell's happened to our culture, though, my friend, in that we've made these folks heroic. He's an evil, dark, sinister murderer. Okay? And so this gets posted by a prominent lawyer's wife. In this house, Luigi Mangione was a hero. End of story. So I sent him a note. So let's just kill everyone we don't like. All tacos. all attorneys, all bad doctors. How about IRS agents? How about that? And let's go back to the Menendez brothers. When the hell in America did we decide that two guys that brutally murdered their parents are suddenly heroic figures that should live in a free world? What the hell's happened to us, Larry? Well, how the hell is this friggin' guy a hero?
There's no logic that would suggest he is to anybody that's sane.
And I heard Raz, because we all want to know why. I don't give a damn if he had back surgery. Do you know how many friends I have and you have that have had spinal fusion? You and me have sat with veterans who've had their legs and friggin' arms blown off. They ain't assassinating some health care executive. Quite frankly, I don't give a damn why this rich Ivy League kid did this. I want to know how the hell did he get out of New York? How did the cops release the wrong information? Where do we go from here? And what happened to us, Larry, to Americans? They're attacking this poor employee at the McDonald's. They don't want to release her name because she turned him in. Can you imagine, brother? Seriously, can you imagine?
I didn't hear that part of the story. So they're asking people, if you see something, say something. And now if you do, this goes back to
why. This friggin' homicidal maniac is now a hero. Larry, how is it that beautiful women send the Menendez brothers love letters? What the hell's wrong with us? How is it then when a man killed a cop here in Pittsburgh, this is a true story. When he went into the jail, the inmates stood up and cheered for him. What the blank? Larry, really, what the hell's happened to us, man? Where do we go from here? How do we find common sense, man?
I'll be anxious to hear what
Come on.
The listeners have to say.
Come on, Larry.